everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, I'm excited and thrilled to have Todd Tabone on the podcast.
Tabone.
He's already correcting me already. And I love the smile. You already got the big smile. Now, Todd did not want to stereotype himself into one specific job or role. So he describes himself as a physical therapist, fitness enthusiast, fisherman, Spartan racer, musician, gardener, and quilt and wind chime maker.
And pickleballer.
You didn't even let me get to that. I was going to say, at Catalyst, Todd is part of worship teams. He's a greeter, and his latest role as pickleball organizer. So there you go.
Yep. I like it.
Now, Todd is married to Diem, and this year they'll celebrate their 26th year anniversary, right? Together they have two daughters, Trinity and Miley. And with that, Todd, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
All right, cool. Thanks, John. Thanks for having me on. I liked it because I'm watching John do all this the stuff for the podcast. Like, wow, it sounds exactly like it does when I'm listening to it. And I'm looking at the machine and like, that's how he does it. Oh, wow.
Oh, that's so...
So I get to see the behind-the-scenes stuff.
That's hilarious. Well, I should have probably asked you what it is you don't do, because that would have taken a lot less time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, but there's a lot of
things I don't think there's anything you don't do.
I tried a lot of things. So yeah, things I don't like. I know I'm not geared toward, but I've tried a lot... Okay. Of things, and that's how I like it. I like to, I just like to experiment and just have fun and do things. Yeah. And there's certain things that I gravitate toward, and there's certain things I don't.
Right. Well, when I think of you, I think of that saying, variety is the spice of life, right? Oh,
yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Now, something caught my attention specifically, and you talked a little bit about it when we talked earlier, and that's the Spartan racing. And so I wondered if you can talk about, because probably not all the listeners know what Spartan race is, if you can talk about what that is and how that even is kind of you drew lessons from your Spartan racing that relate to your life. And so I wonder if you can talk about that.
Sure. Spartan racing is... a race event, a trail racing event that has obstacles placed along the trail that you have to overcome. Some of the obstacles are crawling underneath the barbed wire. Some obstacles are climbing up a hill, climbing up a rope, carrying heavy objects. So they're just different things. So that's what Spartan racing is.
Yeah. And I wondered if you can talk about how you draw a lot of your life lessons from Spartan racing. And I wonder if you can talk about that.
Yeah. So, one of the things that Spartan racing has, how it's influenced me is because Spartan racing is not, it's not easy, much like life isn't easy. And Spartan racing, you have to overcome obstacles, much like my life or our lives in general.
Yeah.
We have to overcome obstacles. Well, in Spartan racing, I've learned, hey, I need to just push through it. I need to keep on going, persevere.
Yes.
And to look at these obstacles as, as I've gotten better at obstacle course racing, look at these obstacles as a learning, something to learn from and to grow from.
Yeah.
And that's what it really did. When I first started Spartan racing, as a matter of fact, Damon's the one that got me into it. Thank you, Damon. Okay. Shout out to Damon. And so when I first got into Spartan racing, I had a lot of fun, but there was weaknesses, physical weaknesses that I found out about myself. And as I've gotten better, I learned to what I needed to do to overcome those obstacles. A lot of it is just persevere, just keep on going, keep on training, keep on doing what I need to do to get stronger and faster.
Yeah.
And then in life, when I've had hard times, like right now, I am recovering from a total knee replacement. So with that, like, hey, this is tough, but I've been through tougher things. This is rough. I'm going through a rough area, whether it's at work or in family life. Well, you know, just keep persevering.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, I've been through some tough things, and this is just another obstacle that I need to overcome.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's so wonderful that you could use those lessons that you learned in your training to help you through anything that you could go through in your life like that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
One of the great things I love about Spartan racing.
Yeah. And, you know, when you were talking, Todd, I just thought of Romans 5:3-4 in the NIV, where it talks about, we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
Mm.
So I love that that story. And so I'm so excited to have you there. I know you're one of the biggest fans of Catalyst Story, and you've told me that too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Haven't you?
Uh-huh. I love listening to Catalyst Stories.
Yeah, so it's so awesome to have you on, and now you can hear your podcast now too.
I don't know if I'm gonna listen to my podcast. It's probably the one I'm not gonna listen to.
Oh, that's funny. So I want to take you back to high school now. Yeah. Now I know your parents divorced when you were in high school, and I wondered if you can talk about, you know, what happened and what you remember during that tumultuous time period for you.
Ooh, yeah, I don't talk about it much because it was a very rough period in my life. I don't talk about it a lot at all. I don't know if even DM knows a lot of the details, and a lot of details I'll never even disclose.
Sure.
It was
sure.
so rough.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was,
Well, I remember you talked about, just arguments about money, that was a
yeah. So all my life
challenge.
Growing up, I just remember my parents arguing, various things, but money was one of them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I always told myself, okay, I don't care about money enough to where you're going to argue about it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And even to this day, I try not to dwell upon money a lot.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
if I'm
right,
you know, I have a stable job. Is my family doing okay? Then I'm okay. But I don't, definitely not something I think about at all.
Right. Well, I remember at the time you said that you kind of made a vow to yourself that you didn't want that to be an issue in your marriage someday.
Correct.
At that time.
Yeah.
Now, another thing that you had mentioned was that during that time, you didn't want to be at home a lot. And so I wondered if you could talk about some things you did to kind of get out of the house or get away from the home.
Sports was a big outlet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't want to be at home. So, so I played a lot of sports, football, basketball, sports through the school. I would go out riding my bike. Mm-hmm. We live right across the street from El Camino College. I would, I'd ride my bike over there. I did a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Play with the kids in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That's what I did just to get out of the house and not to be around it.
Yeah.
The arguing and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So, but I definitely remember all the fighting, and I thought to myself, okay, nothing could be, don't take things so seriously, whether it's money or little things, that you start fighting about it, that you make it such a point so important that you've got to fight and divorce over it. So I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's one of the reasons why I take things so lightly. I think, you know, I try to find, I just try to not take things so seriously.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. Right. And I remember you also, so you mentioned, I think you went to live with your dad, and then your sister went to go live with your mom during after the divorce. Is that right?
That is. Wow. Yeah. Well, great memory. You took some good notes, John.
Yeah. So thank you. So I wondered what, at that point, what was your relationship like with your parents after the breakup?
I was okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, I don't know if I was fine. I've always been closely to my dad. I do remember my sister and I having this conversation as little kids, and I don't ever wish little kids to have these kind of conversations, but we were young and we had conversations, who's going to stay with mom, who's going to stay with dad, so our parents are not alone. And I was like young, thinking like this.
Yeah.
And as I grew older, I was like, man, no kid should have to think like that. Yeah. How they're going to take care of their parents, keeping them from being lonely.
Right.
So my sister and I, we talked and I decided, okay, I'm going to stay with dad and you're going to stay with mom.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
But that's how it was. But I, you know, as little kids, you're still thinking your parents are your rock.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, absolutely. And I think you also said that experience kind of drew you closer to your sister as well, too, right?
Yes. Yeah. Because we would have conversations.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
You know, and those rough times, they draw you close. So when we separated, we would talk on the phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. How we're doing. When I would visit my mom, you know, how we would spend time with each other, for sure. Of course, that's how we got closer.
Yeah.
Because we would lean upon each other.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Now, so kind of switching over to your high school years, you played football. And what did you like about playing football?
Ooh. If I had to be honest.
Yeah, be honest.
What did I like about playing football? I like the fact that there were girls hanging around football players.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So if I had to be honest, that was probably it. You know, no one likes getting hit.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like getting hit. I like, you know, hitting, but no one likes getting hit. It's probably more the prestige around football players in high school.
Yeah.
You know, wearing the uniform. And then and then on Fridays or Thursdays or Fridays, you know, somebody, usually a girl, asking if they could wear your uniform. And you're like, okay, yeah, I need it back by 3 o'clock. That was probably initially what I liked about it.
Oh,
so, but
funny.
We had a good football team.
Yeah.
I went to Carson. So, I mean, that's prestige right there.
Yeah.
You're on the football team.
Yeah. Well, I think I've told you this story, right? So I went to Gardena High School and I played in the marching band. And yeah, you're laughing already. You know where I'm going with this. And so when we played Carson High School, our band didn't play a whole lot that night. It was all your band. It was it was probably Craig Yamachika out there somewhere playing his saxophone.
Yes. Right.
So I know you guys had a great team. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
But it's funny because I expected you to say when I asked you what you liked about the football, I thought you were going to say you liked hitting people because you know, Dan Oyakawa was on the podcast and that's why he liked to play football. Uh-huh. So I thought you were going in that direction. But your answer makes total sense. As a guy, I get it.
I ain't gonna lie about it.
Yeah. No.
That's the truth.
Yeah. So kind of moving on to a more serious note, you had a terrible injury, and I wondered if you can talk about that. And
that injury, so that fateful day changed my life forever.
Yeah.
So I got I injured my knee playing special teams. Someone came from the side and just blew out my knee. Mm-hmm. And little did I know, that would change my life forever. So before that, I really didn't have direction in high school, what I wanted to do after, like as far as career.
Mm-hmm.
I thought maybe I'd go into the military, become a police officer, become a firefighter, I really didn't know.
Yeah.
But I injured my knee and I went to a physical, I went to physical therapy. And then from there, I saw how well I was treated, the environment that the physical therapist was in. And then, you know, the physical therapists that were working on me, they were kind of cute. They're the girl thing again. And I was like, wow, I would love to work here. You know, there's good looking people. You get paid well. It's highly, you're highly respected. So
yeah.
From then I focused on becoming a physical therapist.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. And I think you even said that your GPA just shot through the roof. I mean, went way up there when you had that focus and that direction. Well,
You know, when your GPA is like a two, it's going to shoot way up there. You know, if I had a 4.0, it's not going to shoot too far up, but yeah. It was pretty far down there and yeah. It gave me focus.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, definitely.
I had nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, 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 definitely. And I think you also mentioned that you realized during your injury that God had your back, that he was going to get you through this. And so I wondered if you can talk about how you felt God had your back during this time.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
I felt abandoned. Oh, okay.
Well, how about if you... You visualize that God is saying that to you.
When I get up to heaven, he's going to say, Todd, I did have your back. You just didn't know it. It's almost like that footprints in the sand.
Oh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where were you? There's only one set of footprints. Yeah, right. And that one set of footprints, I think is mine. But no, it's really Jesus carrying me. You know, that was, I mean, I was 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I never went through anything like that.
Yeah.
Gosh, how did God get me through that? Mm-hmm. It's, you know, when you're injured and you're on a team, mm-hmm. and then you're no longer on the team.
Yeah.
It's the loneliest feeling. The loneliest feeling.
Yeah.
One group, you're with your brothers.
Yeah.
Practicing, having mm-hmm. fun, mm-hmm. laughing, playing, winning, and the next. You're at home by yourself.
Yeah.
In your room. No one visiting you. Mm. No one calling you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was rough. So, I mean, looking back on it, like all those lonely times, the only person, you know, I can't even say though that I was 16. So, I don't even know. I mean, look back on it now, God placed me on a path that
mm-hmm. you might not have gone on.
I definitely wouldn't have gone on.
Yeah.
Because from there, I went to Long Beach State. I knew Long Beach State had a physical therapy program.
Right.
And from Long Beach State, that's where I met my wife. That's where I met DM.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She noticed me the first day. Well, I... That's my story.
Okay, yeah. But, I was going to say, we probably need to have her on the podcast so she can give her version.
Her version, yep. So, yeah, that led me on a path that I never would have been on the going to Long Beach State, physical therapy, focusing on my grades. I never would have met DM.
Yeah.
If I never met DM, I wouldn't. Be where I'm at right now.
And I wonder if you can tell that story about how you met her and how you guys started dating.
Yeah, sure. So I met DM the first day of college, but I was unavailable when I first met her. So we were just friends. We were friends for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had broken up with my girlfriend, but at the time, but no, she broke up with me. And then, through all that, DM and I were just friends and always hung out. And one day she was at my house. I invited her over to one of our parties and I asked her, hey, describe your perfect guy. And she started naming off some qualities. And I had jokingly said, wow, that sounds like me. And she says, you know, it does sound like you. And that was the first.
Wow. That was, and she meant it sincerely.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And that was the first. And I didn't really have feelings for her or anything like that, other than she was cute, obviously. And then, you know, we were friends.
Yeah.
But I didn't really think I had a shot until she said that. I was like, hey, now. Hey, now. We're getting somewhere. So it was, that was it. And then I kind of spent the next, I don't know if it was next 9 months, kind of
trying pursuing to woo her.
Yeah, trying to woo her. I have another story, but the real story is I tried to woo her and just playing the cat and mouse game of, you know, of dating.
Yeah. Well, what is the other story?
You don't want to hear the fake story. I am full of fake stories.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's not meant for a podcast.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll tell you the real story.
I got you.
The real story was I went after her and, you know, tried to get her and yeah, just playing the cat and mouse game of dating, getting someone to like you.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, it worked.
It did work. And that all started, like you said, like the original question, it all started from me getting injured in high school. I would not have gone to physical therapy, which, you know, I probably wouldn't have gone to Long Beach State to take those classes. Uh-huh, the classes that DM and I took were pre-physical therapy classes. And we noticed that we were in each other's classes and we started hanging out, becoming friends. And voila.
Amazing, huh?
Amazing.
I mean, you got a career out of it, you got direction out of it, and you got DM out of it.
I got DM, two kids.
and your kids, yeah, your family.
And in many ways, I'm at Catalyst because of it. So the whole story really is DM and I dated, got together, and then she was an intern at, I don't know what facility, but her clinical instructor was Patty Hashimoto from CBC.
Okay.
Patty invited DM to go to church with her.
Oh, okay.
DM went to CBC. Well, at the time DM and I were dating, I was going to Calvary Chapel, South Bay, and DM was going to my church.
Okay.
And then, well, DM had lived in Cerritos. CBC was right there, so she would start going to CBC. And she said one time, Todd, you would really like CBC. You should check it out. It's like Calvary Chapel with all like Japanese people. And I was like, what? There's a church with all Japanese people? And so I went there. And the person speaking that day was Pastor Barry.
Oh, okay.
He introduced himself to me that first day.
Wow.
I had been going to Calvary Chapel for how long? And I never once met Pastor Steve Mays. I liked him, but I mean, it was just so big. Mm-hmm. I never met him.
Yeah.
First day I go to CBC, I met the pastor. I was like, whoa, this is cool. And then after church, everyone wanted to go out to lunch. I was like, what? We're going to lunch? Heck yeah, let's go out to lunch. And so from CBC, then the church plant to Catalyst.
Yeah.
Followed Barry here to Catalyst. Voila.
Yeah.
I'm on the podcast. All because of my knee injury. See how God works?
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I just love how, you know, that was a very devastating knee injury you had from your football experience.
But
then, you know, that you're able to reflect back and see all the ways that God has led you on your journey and things that you have stepped into because of that.
Yeah, that was
change in direction.
That was a tough thing to overcome. And so just going on perseverance, I had to persevere and overcome that. Mm-hmm. And this knee has, from then on, has always given me problems. I've always had knee issues. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've had arthritis. Mm-hmm. You know, again, I like the Spartan race, but even the knee got in the way of me really, you know, becoming a really fast runner. Mm-hmm. Just because I couldn't run fast, my knee would get sore. But I still managed. to do well. And so the knee has really, come to think of it, really played a part on who I am today and mm-hmm. where I am right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And you mean that in the idea of that idea that you have to keep persevering.
Yes. Right, through. Yeah. 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 And I can remember thinking, I'm okay with having the knee that I have because this just reminds me I'm not home yet.
Mm.
Home meaning heaven. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not perfect. And the one day that I am going to be perfect is when I'm in heaven. So this knee reminds me, hey, Todd, you're not home yet. We're not finished yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're not finished here yet. We got work to do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And it just begs the question, I wonder if part of that thing with the knee injury too is also your reliance on the Lord too, that you know that you need his strength, that you need him to help you on
100%. That's what the knee reminds me of. Wow. Like, hey, I'm not physically able to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And how that relates to spiritually. Hey, there's some things I can't do on my own.
Yes, yes.
You know? So being reminded of my weakness reminds me of how strong my God is. So that's what it reminds me of, you know?
Yeah, that's so awesome, mm-hmm. Todd. So I wanted to, you know, you end up marrying Diem, and you had, because of that vow that you had made back when you were in high school about not wanting to argue about money and things like that, it also created some challenges in your marriage, like it would, you know, in any marriage. But I wondered if you can talk about how that vow created challenges.
Yes. In your marriage. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, because you're right. So growing up, I saw my parents arguing, and I just told myself, I'm never going to argue.
Yeah.
Never going to argue because I saw the effects it had on me. So growing up, or I should say fast forward to marriage, I didn't want to argue, and that I didn't really stand up for myself.
Uh-huh,
I mean, arguments are going to happen between two people. What I realize now.
Right.
Two different people, you're going to have two different opinions.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And so for me, because I had this vow kind of, you know, of not arguing, I let, and I'm not talking bad about Dion, but I would just let her decide,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know,
concede a lot.
Huh? Yeah. I would concede almost all the time. At least I felt I would concede mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't feel that's the way we should run the house. I didn't feel like that's the way we should raise our kids. Okay. Well, nothing's worth, you know, it's not important enough for me to fight about. Well, even though it was important to me, I still didn't want to fight. Mm-hmm. So I'd always concede. Well, about 10 years into our marriage, I kind of had enough. It was just built up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I really just had it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to concede anymore, and it caused a lot of arguments and disagreements, and I knew why. It was because I knew why we were arguing, because I didn't want to concede anymore. I was tired of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so
so when did things start to change for you?
Yeah, so we went to marriage counseling, and it gave me a voice. But not only that, mm-hmm. You'd probably have to hear from DM side. Not only did it give me a voice, but it also forced DM to listen to me
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
without interrupting. And I'm not saying DM's an interrupter, mm-hmm. but I when for so long I would just concede, you know, whatever DM said, okay, that's what she would say. But now I could give my opinion and it could just be heard without being interrupted.
Yeah.
And so it taught me how to communicate. And, you know, even me, even though I didn't want to argue, I still had to learn how to communicate. I had to learn how to have disagreements.
Yeah.
You know, and say it in a way that.
Agree to disagree, huh?
Agree to disagree, but I had to say it, I had to learn how to say it in a way that DM wouldn't become defensive or, you know, and that's just becoming a better husband, you know, learning how to communicate with your wife and they have you have a disagreement, but say it in a way that is loving. Say it in a way that, you know, maybe I'm not so emotional. Say in a way that I'm not coming from a place of fear where if I say something, oh, we're going to divorce, but say it from a place of confidence. Like, hey, this is the reason, this is why we're having this, I'm having this disagreement with you.
Yeah.
Not because, you know, I'm fearful or anything like that, but, you know, hey, we can get through this argument and we'll be fine. Not.
Right.
I don't know if we're going to get through this argument because we might get a divorce. So I had to, you know, just shifting my mind, like being more confident.
Yeah.
Standing up for myself.
Yeah.
But also saying it in a way that is loving and would be received properly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that's when things started really changing, huh, for the better.
Yeah. DM shaped up a lot. And it's funny because right after that, like we went to marriage counseling. We went on vacation, a month later. And we went on vacation and had a great time. We went to China.
Okay.
And I was just like, wow, after the trip and coming back from China, I was like, I think we're good. Wow. I could just sense it.
Yeah.
I can just sense it. Yeah. We were in marriage counseling, and I remember telling the marriage counselor, I could end all of this today, meaning I could stop all this arguing. And she said, why don't you? I said, because, and then I wouldn't have a voice. I would revert back to my old self and not say anything. And you know me, I like to say, I talk a lot, right? And so for me not to talk, that's rough.
But
it, after marriage counseling, after our vacation, I felt like, okay, we're good.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, so if you were to give advice to a couple that might be struggling in a relationship or in a marriage, a word of encouragement, what might that be, Todd?
Oh, boy. I have so much sympathy for any couple that goes through rough times because I know how it is. Yeah. I don't know how... it's hard for me to give advice because I can only tell, I guess give an example of what I've done.
Yeah.
What worked for me.
Yeah.
And that was, we went to marriage counseling. That helped a lot. And marriage counseling, and then something that Sam told me, to love DM like the Lord loves her. And that is hard to do when they're getting on your nerves. But, you know, other than that, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's huge. I mean, I just as you said that, I was thinking of John 34 and 35 in the English Standard Version, where it says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. But if we could learn to love others the way that God loves us and the way that he loves the people, you can't go wrong, right?
Can't go wrong. It ain't easy.
Yeah.
As any marriage any married couple will attest to. Yeah. That is not easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Persevere. Hang out with, you know, godly men.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's things that I've shared with my guy friends that, you know, you just get off your chest. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think having a good support group, that's important.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Get, mm-hmm. You just get some good advice from some guys.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so about 6 years ago, you decided to go for a hike near the Kern River, and what could be called, you had what could be called a God moment. And so I wondered if you could talk about that hike and what happened.
Yeah, so the best hike ever. So Dan and I have a cabin, I guess you would say, up in near Kernville, near Lake Isabella. Anyways, so there's this trail along the Kern River, and I was walking, and I probably asked my kids and DM if they wanted to go, and they said no. So I went on my own, and it was great because I just remember walking, and out in nature is when I have like some of the best quiet times with the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's just mm-hmm. me and the Lord.
Yeah.
And you just, and especially there, you look around and you see the beauty of his creation. Mm-hmm. And I was probably just amazed at the creation. Anyways, I was walking along the Kern River, pretty high above it. And then along the trail, there was this outcropping of rocks. And it was a flat rock. And there was nobody around. And I just had this, like you said, God moment where I went on the rock and I just sat and I just basked in his presence. That's just the best way I can describe it. It was a while. I forgot all the little details. I don't know if I cried. I probably prayed. But, you know, that place is so, it is.
Yeah.
It's a miraculous place. It's just a place where you just experience the Lord's creation.
Yeah.
And just listen to him. Mm-hmm.
Describe what that felt like when you were in that place.
Well, very peaceful. There's nobody out there. There's nothing to distract you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peaceful, secure, loved. Mm. I just remember feeling blessed, loved. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's awesome feeling. Mm-hmm. I want to, again, shout out to, you know, Pastor Barry. It was at CBC where he had this class. Mm. And this class helped us find our ways that we best experience the Lord. I don't know if uh-huh. our quiet times with the Lord. And mine was music and being out in nature.
Yeah.
And so I always remember that. So when I'm out in nature, I look for that.
Yeah.
Look for that. And it's one of the reasons why I love, you know, running or hiking around our, you know, in the trails is because those are my quiet times.
Yeah.
I can see, I can feel the Lord's presence. Mm. You can see his creation, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And, you know, what was so neat, Todd, was as you were describing that experience to me earlier, I thought I couldn't help but think of Jesus, that he often went away to a solitary place to spend time with the Heavenly Father. And so I just wanted to quote a couple scriptures, Mark 1:35 and Matthew 14:23. So even Jesus went away to spend time with the Heavenly Father and thought it was important that he do that. So that's awesome that you could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Todd, as we come close to closing our time together, I just want to thank you for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing your amazing journey with us.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I'd like to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving for your testimonies and for listeners as well. So, yeah, let's pray. Father God, thank you for all those years that when Todd faced the challenges and uncertainty of his parents' marriage, Lord, that you were there for Todd and you heard his prayers lifted up to you, Lord. And Father God, I just also thank you, Jesus, that through the terrible injury, Lord, on the football field, that you were setting in motion the plans you had for Todd and the purposes that you had for his life. And so, Father God, help us to trust that, Lord, you know the plans you have for us, plans to prosper us and not harm us, plans to give us hope and a future, and that's Jeremiah 29:11. And thank you, Jesus, for giving Todd the perspective to love Diem the way that you love her, Lord. And I think of Lamentations 3:32 in the NIV that says, so great is his unfailing love. And Lord, give us the desire and strength to love others the way that you love us. And thank you, Holy Spirit, how you spoke to Todd that one beautiful day out in the Kern River for the peace and joy that he was able to experience. And Lord, we're reminded how you often went away to a solitary place to spend time with the Heavenly Father. And Lord Jesus, help us in the busyness and the hustle and bustle of our everyday lives to follow Jesus' example of spending time alone with you, and give us that desire to connect with you, that like you've given that desire for Todd as well. And now, Jesus, may you use these testimonies in Todd's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Todd.
Thanks, John.
And yeah, that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.